listened to every single podcast on oneofus.net. What do I do now?
Well, first of all, how is that even possible? But secondly, I think I have a solution for you, Chris.
There can be no solution, Brian.
There is a solution, and that solution is our newest sponsor, Audible.com. Guys, if you haven't tried Audible.com, now is the perfect time to do that. We're talking about content that includes over 150,000 audio programs. We're talking about books on digital, audio dramas, broadcasters, magazine and newspaper publishers, all the greatest stuff you can possibly imagine in one place just for you.
Okay, that actually does sound pretty good.
Doesn't that sound great? And you know what? I'm going to make it sound even greater, Chris, because they are officially, Audible is officially one of our sponsors here at oneofus.net. And as a special gift to you guys, Audible is giving away a free audiobook. All you have to do is click on the link at the bottom of this page, or you can go to audibletrial.com/oneofus.
You mean to say that by clicking on audible.com and downloading their free book, they make sure by listening to that audio that we keep making more audio as well?
That's right, and the cycle continues.
Baumbach feels like he's getting old, I guess.
Fuck that. I feel like I'm getting old.
Seriously.
This is too terribly close to my wheelhouse.
Oh, this cut a little close to home.
Oh, yeah. No,
to say the least.
Yeah, because everybody, you know, once you, like, you know, my late 30s, I was just like, I'll be over the hill soon. But man, like, hitting my, you know, the early part of my 40s has definitely been like, oh shit, nobody's paying attention to me anymore. I'm not relevant at all.
Try mid-40s, my friend.
Yeah, well, I'm getting there.
It's like every few months you can feel it doubling down.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Like that microcircuitry thing where like it keeps exponentially increasing.
Yeah, yeah,
that's your 40s.
Yeah, I'm 44 this year, and I'm like, oh god.
Well, this is, we're doing a review for While We're Young, the new film.
By
Noah Baumbach, who is a director. A lot of you, like, maybe out there going like, that sounds familiar, but I can't think of anything he's done.
He's very much the darling indie boy of the last, like, decade, you know, and he's worked with the darling indie boy of the last decade. He helped co-write a couple of Wes Anderson films. Then he struck out on his own as you know, the director, and he made the Squid and the Whale, Francis Ha, which
Margot at the Wedding,
Kicking
and Screaming,
stuff that's mostly been you know, very very indie fare, art house fare. This seems like he's kind of stepping a little bit out of that. It does have Ben Stiller, with who he has worked before.
Yeah, on Greenberg.
On Greenberg, but this seems like maybe his most accessible film to date, especially for, like, Generation Xers. This is kind of like the coda to Reality Bites.
It really kind of is. I would argue his stuff has always been pretty accessible. He's like Hal Hartley if he figured out how commerce works.
How human beings actually interact with each other. You know, none of his stuff has been so outré as to be like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I couldn't show this to my mom, or I couldn't show this to, you know, Joe Blow, who only watches Marvel movies.
No.
But the market for it has definitely been the art house, and this feels like something that's going to play in bigger, in, you know, more mainstream theaters.
I think one of the strengths of this film, and as well as pretty much everything he's done, is that it's normal people who are going through changes in their lives where they have to deal with realistic philosophy.
Yes.
So we're not talking about like German existential film type stuff here.
No.
We're talking about people who are going through crises, and then the movie is actually thoughtful and funny and even sometimes a little touching about dealing with those things in a way that feels like it's naturalistic.
He's very much about expectations versus reality. And like with The Squid and the Whale, he was looking at divorce. With Francis Ha, it was kind of looking at you know, being an artist and you know, reaching your mid-20s and realizing that, oh, the clock is kind of running out on that one dream, and I don't know if I'm going to make it. This has, you know, some different clocks, and in some ways it's got some of the concerns from his other films kind of put into you know, one big melting pot. But definitely the focus of the movie is Ben Stiller's character, who is married to Naomi Campbell's character.
Josh and Cornelia.
Yeah, Josh and Cornelia. They're you know, 40-somethings. he's a documentarian. He had one really solid hit out of the, you know, one presumes in his 30s. And since then, he's been working on, you know, this kind of, you know, convoluted commentary on American politics and influence, talking to this old Noam Chomsky-esque scholar. And you know, for one reason or another, he has not been able to complete it. In the meantime, their best friends, who are played by Ad-Rock from the Beastie Boys, going as Ad-Rock, which really made me feel old, playing...
I know, that freaked me out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, wait, that... Oh my God.
Yeah. It's just like, oh wow. Even if MCA hadn't died, I don't think the Beasties are getting back together. he plays the father. He and his wife have had a new child. And
they're doing the same thing all those couples always do. Every time. Oh, you guys would make great parents.
You guys would make great parents.
Oh, Joe, you should do this.
One of us. Join
Everything
us.
Changes. You'll see. Yeah. You'll see.
It'll be perfect for you. And, you know, whether and this doesn't seem to be common knowledge, but they have indeed tried to have kids of their own. And they've had a couple of miscarriages. And they Naomi Campbell's character is just like, I don't want to go through this again.
Yeah, they've kind of at that point, they made a reluctant peace with it.
Yeah, they're just like, we're not having kids. But unfortunately, or, you know, not even fortunately or unfortunately, as circumstance would have it, which is kind of the backbone of a lot of Baumbach stuff. You know, they're feeling adrift because a lot of their friends are mommy tracking and nesting, and they feel a little stuck.
Everybody else's life seems like they're moving on to the next stage. Whereas they figured their next stage was going to be more about their art and their work is just stalled out.
There's a lot of
Stiller is like, he's Buckminster Fuller of shit on this project. He just cannot move past like this. Like, in, you know, intellectual levels within levels to the point where it's just, it's impenetrable.
Yeah, he's trying to boil down, like, 5 volumes of Noam Chomsky into 2 hours, and it is not working at all.
Yeah. And then everything changes when they meet a young 20-something couple, Jamie and Darby, played by Amanda Seyfried and Adam Driver.
Yes.
Who are, like, you know, I mean, they're...
They're the quintessential, like, you know, if you're a millennial and you fantasized about moving to Brooklyn and, you know, living a bohemian life, these guys have hit it. You know,
they're the manic pixie dream couple.
They really are. She makes her own ice cream, and he's an aspiring documentarian. You know, they make all their own furniture. They've got a chicken in their house. You know, he's got this.
Of course, got a huge vinyl.
Yeah,
collection.
Massive vinyl collection, and you know, this like, you know, totally tricked out, like, vintage, you know, record player, and they're doing the whole bit, you know, and he's got his Victorian, you know, his kind of slouch hat and, you know, hipster look, and you know, they're kind of living that dream, the 20-something dream, and their energy and their, you know, joie de vie that really starts to sweep up Stiller and Campbell's character.
Yeah, and I think, you know, of course everything doesn't go on well. Oh, and everybody stays best friends and everything is wonderful forever, and Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts find their youth again and actually physically start to age backwards. No, that does not actually happen. But what we're seeing here is a film that ultimately is about... It's a different type of midlife crisis here. It's not buying the red sports car. It's falling in love with youth and the things that come with youth and the naive optimism and the fast and loose with the truth.
It's addressing our generation gap, which is much different than the baby boomer Gen Xer gap was a lot different, you know, because it was, you know, still very much informed by the original generation gap between the kids of the 60s and the parents who, you know, or the first, you know, were the war generation, the greatest generation. And
so,
like,
they call themselves.
Yeah, so they call themselves. Well, Tom Brokaw called them that. but, you know, the Gen Xers have kind of, we're kind of the first generation to grow up with that, you know, in this culture, in this, you know, worshipful youth culture. where, you know, what advertising and what, you know, our media and our entertainment really aims and aspires to hit is that, you know, very sweet 20 something market. And moving out of that is, you know, jostling, because it's not like you feel like, you know, I have tons of friends in my 20s and I feel like I can talk to them fine. And I don't feel like there's none of those, like, these pesky kids. And I actually tend to get annoyed whenever, like, especially Gen Xers, but anybody older than them too, like, starts to wag their finger at the millennials, right, and be like, well, you kids just don't know and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, you know what? You're full of shit. They're just, you know, they're as bad and as good as we were.
The kids are all right.
The kids are all right.
Well, you know, I guess I don't, whereas there's a lot of things in this film that I really did identify with, but more about the sort of, like, that point in your 40s where you're like, so what is happening next anyway?
Yes.
You know, that can view, I'm not sure what the next step is, but I realize that I'm at that point, I better hurry up and decide
right.
what it is. I get the fun of hanging out with much younger people. I went through more of that in my mid-30s when I was working in bars.
Sure.
You know, where almost everybody we work with was in their early 20s.
Oh, yes.
And you're like, okay, these kids know how to party.
Yes.
Once
it can
we've
be
shown them.
Very damaging.
It can be extremely damaging. But I guess for me, I usually see, you know, you just let kids make their mistakes. If they want to ask you for advice, you give it to them in as nice and non-condescending a way as possible. But, you know, people are going to make their own mistakes. Every situation is different.
Sure.
And this is one of these where it's this guy who has so idealized the things that he wishes he still had, or even this sort of different take on freedom that this young generation has, that he's just overlooking all the stuff that's just below the surface, all the problems that every 20-something has.
Right. I mean, it, you know, he starts to kind of frame himself within, you know, this youth culture, and starts, you know, Naomi Campbell starts taking a dance class with
Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts starts taking a dance class with Amanda
Seyfried. Hip hop dance class.
Yeah, they
which
like
is very funny.
Yeah, they're wearing their clothes and they're you know doing a urban exploration and all this, you know, very very typical, you know, hipster-esque stuff. And they feel enlivened and freshened by it. And at the outset, it seems like, you know, this young couple that they become so enamored of are agendaless and generous and giving and, you know, very much embracing of them.
Yeah, and very, like, spontaneous in this very pleasant way of, like, looking at the world through a different lens of, like they say early on, well, you know, Ben Stiller's character, you look at everything in terms of success. And Adam Driver's like, I just don't look at the world that way. I just move ahead and create art to create art,
right,
type of thing. But ultimately, anybody who says that is completely
full
of
shit.
So you should know that now. Anybody who tells you this, and I've had people tell me that, they are lying. That's, they may even believe it themselves on some level, but it's just not true.
Yeah.
Everybody wants, if you're creating art, it's because you want somebody else to pay attention to
it. Yes, it doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Preferably lots of people who pay you money to pay attention to it. Now, lest you think that we're talking about a drama here, it's not. This is actually a very funny movie.
Yes.
It's one of the funnier films that Baumbach's actually done, I thought.
I think so, and it... unlike some of his other stuff, it doesn't, even though obviously this is a movie that hinges upon self-reflection, it's not as navel-gazing as some of his stuff.
No.
You know, like I Francis Ha, which I really enjoyed, is definitely
quite a bit.
It's a far more introspective movie and a movie that is best approached as an individual, whereas this is more of a group dynamic.
It totally is. It's definitely more of a sort of, hey, the audience is going to laugh together at these type of things. You can get something from this, but it never stops so long to meditate on any one aspect of the drama things going on here that the film loses its momentum. In fact,
right,
it does a great job keeping up a steady momentum through it. It moves very quickly. You go from one sort of set piece, funny scenario to the next, even though each scenario isn't there just to be funny. They all serve a purpose in this sort of dialogue that's going on inside of Ben Stiller's head, ultimately.
And it's nice because a lot of the humor doesn't really, like, you could really easily play this as, like, hey, don't old people look really fucking ridiculous when they try to act young?
Right.
And they don't do that very much. And when they do, they don't linger upon it enough for it to be painful.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, neither one of these characters, they're not played as, like, complete dorks or something. Yeah. It's not the way Jay Roach would have made this film.
And
it's...
nobody in this movie is you know, completely despicable.
No.
Yeah, even though Charles Grodin is in it, who is great at playing despicable characters.
Well, he's ancient now, by the way. He went, God, no, Charles Grodin!
But Grodin plays Naomi Watts' father, who was a very, very famous and successful documentarian, who was, you know, and to some extent, Ben Stiller's character had a very protege-mentor relationship with him, and then, you know, they kind of alluded to the fact that when he started dating his daughter, there was a schism, and they haven't really gotten along since. But as it turns out, Adam Driver's character is very interested in getting to know his father-in-law.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's a lot of different stuff going on beneath the surface in this film. And there's a lot of just sort of things that are funny only when you look at it in reflection. Like, the fact that Stiller is so fascinated with this, like, layers within layers film he's watching, and he's just absolutely furious that there's something happening in the same way with this other kid's film, but that it's multiple layers, but it's a totally different, much younger perspective on things. It infuriates him that somebody's doing something, changing the definition of what a documentary is.
Right.
Changing the rules, pulling out from under him. He is literally being the old guy in that sense and having to confront that sort of, like, it didn't occur to him to think about things any differently than that. And
sure.
I found that there's an in-joke in the film that seems to be where they're filming a movie and that's not really the movie they thought it was, but then there's also a movie of filming that, and then later Stiller wants to film that too.
Right.
So, like, a documentary about a documentary about...
And Stiller brings really up a good point of the fact that, like, everything is filmed now.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, what the fuck is a documentary?
Yeah, literally, what is a documentary when there's just...
Everything is documented.
Everything is documented. All right, so let's go to final thoughts on this one. Bo, go ahead.
I thought it was a really a good offering for Noah Baumbach. I think he's swinging for some higher seats with this one, as well he should. It's definitely a lot tighter than some of his other offerings. I think it's more accessible, and obviously the cast brings a lot to that. There are a lot of familiar faces to people out there, both young and old. That said, you know, sometimes. You know, I think we've reached the point that Ben Stiller, who I've admired a lot, is he's found his wheelhouse and he's sticking to it, and he never really gets out of it at this point. And, you know, he's a little bit kvetchy. And, you know, I don't know if he may have been the best choice for this. Maybe somebody a little more sympathetic would have made the movie a little bit more poignant. But that being said, you know, he does a workmanlike enough job that it's not really detracting from it. I also really, Adam Horovitz did a great job with it. He had a handful of scenes, and I'm like, wow, I'm kind of interested in seeing more from you.
Indeed.
You know, Watts is impeccable as ever. You know, Driver and Seyfried do a fun job. You know, does this, you know, climb into masterpiece territory? No, I can see why it was released, why it was. It didn't get released with the dreck that comes out in January, February, but this is more like an amuse-bouche of a movie. It's kind of whetting your appetite for the greater things that will come later in the year. But that being said, it's definitely going to be one of the better things hitting the theaters over the next couple weekends. So, yeah, I definitely say go check it out, especially if you're in your 20s or your 40s. If you're 30s, you can probably just stay home. I give it 7 out of 10 digitally imprinted vinyl albums.
Nice. That's a good one. I like that. Mm. It's the irony of the values of the hipster generation.
Digital mastering of an analog form.
You know, to address the Ben Stiller thing, I really, the whole, you know, schmuckiness of the characters he tends to play was much more irritating to me in Greenberg.
Yeah.
Playing the same character that he does in almost every movie that he's in. You know, I like that character more than I do his, you know, look at me really exaggerated playing characters roles. I'm looking at you, Zoolander. But ultimately, this is the most sympathetic I've seen him play this character. It's like when you see him starting to fall apart, you understand and sympathize with him about it, as opposed to other movies where you're just like, you're just an idiot, shut up. That it still is going through that same arc that he goes through in almost all these movies, where, and even down to the scene where he has the big aha explosion scene, see, and then no one sympathizes with him and he feels like a complete idiot. I think he's done that in like 4 movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like they wrote this for Ben Stiller in that sense.
It's getting harder and harder to sympathize with him.
It is. I guess it's just, he can be a little too on the nose to cast in this type of role.
Yeah.
That's all. You're like, okay, there's typecasting, then there's Ben Stiller. But I thought I even thought he did a really good job in this, though. It's so much more toned back performance, more realistic. There's even points where, like, he starts to do the stuff that would become a whole 20 minutes of another Ben Stiller film and immediately is just shot down. Like, no, that's stupid.
Yeah. Right, the character. Don't do that.
I don't know. I really liked all these people, though. Even, like, you know, when it comes down to the end, there's clearly somebody who's less sympathetic than the others. You still kind of feel sorry for him.
Right.
Like, you're like, yeah, you're just so stupid still.
Yeah.
You're like, you mean well, but you don't understand why what you're doing is kind of fucked up. I think this is one of the tightest written of Baumbach films. I don't think it's the best. I think Squid and the Whale or Margot at the Wedding is still probably his 2 best films. But this is definitely the most accessible. Audiences will dig on this more than anything else. Baumbach's come a long way. Next thing you know, he's going to be making Marvel movies. Wouldn't that piss off the art audience?
Ben Stiller as the Silver Surfer.
So I am going to give this 8 out of 10 tears shed at seeing an old Charles Grodin.
Aww.
Oh, it made me sad. Made me feel even older than anything else in the movie. Like, but I remember when he was...
Time is caustic.